A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Raza.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome once again to our program called The Legacy of Raza. Inshallah, in today's topic, we will talk about the tasawwuf of Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. And Alhamdulillah, we have our special guest, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we will listen to their words of wisdom. So please tune in. Before we start and begin our topic, let us hear some virtues of reciting salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that adorn your gatherings by sending salawat upon me, as this recitation of salawat will be nur for you, i.e. light for you on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he had the rank of a mufti of Sharia and the rank of a complete wali in tasawwuf. You see, tasawwuf is to obey the sharia. Tasawwuf is to avoid sins, is to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to perform actions to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasawwuf is to observe the rites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to act upon the religion of Islam, is to be punctual in salah. Tasawwuf is to adopt the fard, wajib and mustahab actions. Tasawwuf is to remove the worries of the Muslims. Tasawwuf is the name of good character. Tasawwuf is to wish well for other Muslims. And tasawwuf is to aid one another in righteous actions. So if a person asks you this question, what is tasawwuf? This is the answer for that question. So dear viewers of Madin Channel, we need to understand and we need to ask ourselves that do we have these type of characteristics within our life or not? Do we be punctual in our salah? Are we following the footsteps of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now, do we observe the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we conceal the faults and sins of others? You know, what is our state? Are we applying tasawwuf within our life? You see, Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was not only Sufi by name. Rather, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a true Sufi. And all the signs of tasawwuf that we just previously mentioned were found in him rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And his heart was full of wishing well for other Muslims. And this is how each and every single Muslim should be, by adopting and attaining these type of characteristics within our livelihood as well. You see, let us listen to a story in regards to Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnat, that once a woman from the family of two devotees of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi from the district of Hind fell ill. So some individuals from that land came to take Sayyidi Ala Hazrat to them, and they insisted that he travel with them. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat promised to travel with them, and with many people were waiting to welcome him at the train station, and they took him with great comfort and ease. As soon as Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi arrived there, one individual came and said, "When you boarded the train, her condition improved. Now that you have actually arrived, she will be totally cured, inshaAllah." Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stayed for 2 days. And with the grace of Allah Almighty, that woman, she was cured, and Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was bade farewell with great respect and honor. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madin Channel, this story, we come to know that Sayyidi Imam Ahli Sunnah Rahmatullahi Alayhi was such a friend of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who possessed miracles that through the blessed presence of Sayyidi Imam Ahli Sunnah, the ill would become cured. Subhanallah. Let us hear to more in regards to Sayyidi Imam Ahli Sunnah from our Ustaz. Ustaz, what would you say in regards to Imam Ahli Sunnah and Tasawwuf?
Subhanallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As you beautifully just touched upon the Ahmad Bhai, regarding Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma and his strict adherence to Sharia. One beautiful aspect of our deen and Sharia is that when someone falls ill, we don't neglect them. We have that bond of Islam between us, that link. Because of that, we try our utmost to be a well-wisher for others, to come to the aid of others. So this is a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, what people do is they try to differentiate between Sharia and Tariqah. They say your faraid, your mustahabbat, your wajibat, your sunnah, that's something different. And Tariqah is a whole different world. But our scholars, including Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, throughout the ages have emphasized that Tariqah flows from the river of Sharia. So Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, I'll quote him. He says, and this is in Fatawa Razaviyya, volume 21. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma says, and this is him mentioning the relationship between Sharia and Tariqah. He says, Sharia is the source and Tariqah is a river that sprang forth from it. Generally, if a river flows from a source, it is not in need of the source in order to irrigate the land. However, Sharia is such a source that the river that flows from it, i.e. Tariqat, is in need of it in every moment. For if the connection between the source of Sharia is severed from the river of Tariqah, it is not only that water will no longer flow into it, rather as soon as this link breaks, the river of Tariqah will cease to exist at once. Oh, okay. Now here, just to for the audience, just to clarify, Shariat, when we speak about Sharia, we speak about the ahkamat, the rulings pertaining to physical worship, monetary worship like zakat, etc. And when we speak of tariqah, that's, you could say, a synonym for tasawwuf as well. Tasawwuf focuses, this science focuses on cleansing the inner, purifying the inner. And the Quran itself tells us to not only avoid outward sins, the Quran says avoid inward sins as well. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, avoid the outward sins and the inward sins as well. So the outward sins we know. We know lying is a sin. We know stealing is a sin. We know physically assaulting someone is a sin. We know that harming someone with your hands is a sin. These are physical outward sins, right? But inward sins, what's wabatina? The ayat says, avoid the inward sins. These refer to sins like jealousy, sins like thinking negative of others, things like love of the world. These are to do with the inner. So tasawwuf, tariqah, tazkiyatun nafs, they all refer to the same thing. The goal is to purify the heart. And no one can claim purity of the heart prior to acting upon the pillars of the deen. So if someone says, I don't offer salah, but my heart's clean, I don't give zakat, dil is saf, my heart is clean, pure. And likewise, they mention other ibadat, say, oh, I can't do them, they're a bit difficult on me, but my heart is clean. How can your heart be clean? If your heart was clean, it would reflect on the outer, right? If your heart was actually clean, you would worship Allah. So worship and purifying the nafs, purifying the ego, purifying the heart, go hand in hand. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran that successful is the one who's attained this purification. Now, And when you study the life of the awliya Allah, the likes of Allah Azad Ali Rahma, you see very strict adherence to Sharia and purification of the self as well. You see both of them. You don't see one without the other. So he, rahimahullah ta'ala, reached the absolute truth. And this is what we should try and implement in our lives. We claim to love Allah Azad. We say he's our imam. But what about his teachings? What about following him in the manner that he was devoted to Allah? And he was a man of Allah who devoted himself to worship. And then as we will hear, how his self was purified as well. He didn't wish evil for others. He didn't create discord and fitna amongst people. He always spread love. And we call him Imam-e Ishq-o Muhabbat. He spread love, love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love of Muslims, love of Islam. This was his whole life. So this topic is a very beautiful topic, Al-Hazrat and Tasawwuf. Before Tasawwuf comes Tafaqqah, Sharia. And Al-Hazrat was so strict upon Sharia, as we know, all his ibadat. Even though he was such a mufti, Ahmad Bhai, he was at this level, so busy in iftar, that if he had missed his sunnah prayers, this was allowed for him. Because he was so busy in serving the Muslim Ummah, so busy in serving the Muslim Ummah through his fatawa, through his verdicts, that he could have done that. But did he miss his sunnah? No. You still find him offering his sunnah. You still find him offering his nawafil. So today, this beautiful topic we're discussing, hopefully we create awareness amongst people that Shari'at and Tariqat, Tasawwuf, they're not separate entities.
They go hand in hand.
They complement each other. They need it. Sharia is obviously the source, but they need one another. So Sharia, you need to act upon the deen, and you need to also purify yourself. This is what Allah Hazrat did. And inshallah, we'll also touch upon how people dupe and deceive others today in the name of the Tasawwuf. They say, oh, we are big Sufis and we are so-and-so, make claims. But when we analyze those claims, when we open up their situation, you realize, wait a minute, this person doesn't do the basics of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to not only adopt Sharia, but also purify ourselves as well.
I mean, beautifully mentioned by Ustaz Sahab. You see, Ustaz Sahab, you touched upon two points that I want to expand on. Number one was when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, due to his work, his busy schedule, if he wanted to, he could miss his sunnahs, but did he? He didn't. And this is a sad reality in today's society, that when you try to give targhib of a sunnah, people nowadays, they say it's just a sunnah. Why do we need to? We don't have to do it. If it's not for us, we don't need to do it.
Mm.
If it's sunnah, okay, no problem. But the mindset of our pious predecessors, through the tasawwuf and the sahaba as well, was if it's a sunnah, they will do it. Because why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. And that's what you call true love and devotion. And that's what tasawwuf is, that when a sunnah is mentioned, they will run towards it so that they can attain the reward for it.
I was just thinking that the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, imagine they heard what we say today.
Allah.
That people leave things because they're the sunnah. Allah. But the Sahaba, the likes of Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu, he will try and find out about every sunnah of the Prophet, Allah, just so that he can, alhamdulillah, have this honor that I've acted upon all the sunnahs. They will do everything that they heard about the Prophet ﷺ that he did, meaning the sunnah. And if they heard us today, the wait a minute, they're Muslims, they're from the Muslim Ummah, they're the Ummatis of our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They know how we were in terms of the sunnah, and why are they so relaxed? Why are they so,
yeah.
I don't need to do it, it's only sunnah. So look at the contrast. So we need to get our priorities right. As you were saying, the sunnah is very important in our life.
Definitely, and there's a narration as well. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever holds on to my sunnah at the time of fitna, then he will be given the reward of 100 martyrs. And we know the reward of one martyr, Allahu Akbar, but then 100 martyrs, subhanallah. And then the other topic that you mentioned, Ustaz, was deceiving.
Hmm.
How many people are being deceived on the name of being Sufi or Tasawwuf, when initially they don't reflect that. So initially, we heard what tasawwuf is, adhering to the Shariat, obeying the commandments of Allah, the commandments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, etc., etc. And we know how Sayyidi Imam Ahl Sunnah was very strict on Shariat. But nowadays, we have such people who claim to be Sufis, but they've given a strange image to it. They don't reflect it. Rather, you know, they're opposing the Shariat, they're abandoning Salah, they're remaining in the company of non-mahram women. And this is something so regular nowadays, it's normalized, where so-called peers and Sufis who say that we're full of tasawwuf, they're sitting in gatherings with women. And what type of tasawwuf is this? What type of Sufism is this? And like you mentioned, Shariat and Tariqat, they're not separate things. They go hand in hand.
Allah.
If you want to grow Tariqat, you have to adhere to Shariat.
Yes.
Okay, if you let Shariat go, then your Tariqat will not grow. So it's as simple as that. And one story that I would like to mention to the viewers of Madani Channel, that on one of the episodes of Madani Muzakara, a person had asked a question to Amir Ahl Sunnah, that some people refer to themselves as Majzoob and Faqir. When they refer to themselves as this, then they declare non-Shari acts to be permissible for themselves by stating, oh, this is a matter of Tariqat, or this is a matter of Faqiri, not everyone can understand it. You know, this is my Tariqah, or I'm a Faqir. You know, only people like me can understand it. You people won't be able to understand it. By making these sort of excuses, they allow non-permissible things to be permissible, unfortunately. And this question was being asked. And another issue is that a lot of people say this question was, this sentence was added into the question, that when somebody tells them to offer salah, their response is that this is the Zahri Shariat to you people, whereas the inner Shariat for me is that I offer my salah in the Kaaba, in Makkah, in Medina. And to this question, Amir Ahl Sunnah, his reply, subhanAllah, was that leaving Shariat and labeling it as Tariqah or a matter of Faqiri is misguidance. And to separate Tariqat and Sharia is also misguidance. Amir Ahl Sunnat, he mentions that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, that there is a mutual relationship between Shariat and Tariqat as well. So those who claim to be Sufis, who claim to adhere to Tasawwuf, the viewers of Madin Channel, you need to see if that person adheres to the Shariat or not. What is his state? You know, is he following the boundaries of Sharia or is he exceeding those boundaries? So before anybody claims to be a Sufi, and for us, unfortunately, sad reality is that we follow anyone with a person with a imama on, wearing a jubbah, having a beard on their face, long, long hair, you know, about 3-4 rings on their fingers, and we think he's a Sufi, okay? Whereas having an imama on their head, wearing a jubbah, is, you know, it doesn't define a person. A person can wear imama, a person can wear, you know, a jubbah, etc. But what matters sometimes is what's in the heart. It's like what Ustaz, you mentioned, that a lot of people saying that we don't need to read namaz, we just help out people, you know, we want to do good to the people. But they don't read namaz. They say that our heart is clean. You know, heart is clean, don't read namaz. Heart is clean, don't give zakat. Heart is clean, don't fast in the month of Ramadan. This is not what you call Islam. This is not Islam, nor is this tasawwuf as well. Okay, as long, if you say your heart is clean, but what about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you do not follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you claimed for your heart to be clean, then unfortunately, that will not be the case. Because then if your heart was actually clean, if you were sincere with yourself, then you would also follow the commandments of the one who has created you. If you are clean-hearted to the creation, then why can we not be clean-hearted to the Creator? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun bidhati sudur. He knows that which is within our hearts. If you claim to be clean-hearted, but then you don't follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is something that we need to look into. So Asa, what would you say in regards to this?
Again, it's important for everyone, including the awam, to realize who these fake gurus, pseudo Sufis are. Remember, Sufis, unfortunately, have been given a bad name for no reason whatsoever. Sufi, a true Sufi, it's come from the word Suf. One opinion is that this word Sufi is from Suf. Suf means wool. And back in the days, those who practiced the Tasawwuf and those who practiced Zuhud, doing without in the dunya, they used to wear thick clothing on, made of wool, and they stayed away from the luxuries of the world and the raha that people, the comfort that people pursue. So a true Sufi will never tell you to avoid Sharia, right? And a true Sufi, when you study his life, the likes of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, you will find that they are at the pinnacle in terms of worship. Namaz are always on time. Zakat is always fulfilled. Hajj is performed. We know Allah has performed Hajj twice.
Subhanallah.
Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Regarding Allah Hazrat, I remember that towards the end of his life, he was quite frail. He was quite weak. And he knew about the fatwa that if you can relocate and go to an area where it's more easier for you to fast, then you should try and do so. Now, Allah Hazrat left his hometown, Bareilly Sharif, and he went somewhere else to a region which was cooler and where he could fast. And he fasted the whole month of Ramadan there. Meaning, a Sufi, a true Sufi, someone who practices the tasawwuf, will follow the rulings of Sharia. Now, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, you know, when we study their lives, we see this time and time again, that any doubtful thing, any makruh thing, any thing that came to their attention afterwards that is wrong, they rectified it. Because they knew Sharia comes first. Otherwise, the Sahaba, those people today who say, oh, we don't have to offer salah, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that, they should provide dalil from the life of the Sahaba. The Sahaba was so staunch upon Sharia. Let me mention a hadith to you. So this hadith is in Mishkatul Masabih. It's mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh had a slave from whose earnings he would sometimes eat. So one day that ghulam, faja'a yawman bi shay'in, he came with something, presented to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, fa'akala minhu Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh ate from that, which was provided by the ghulam. Then the ghulam turned to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh and said, فَقَالَ لَهُ الْغُلَامُ تَدْرِي مَا هَذَا. You know what you just consumed? You know what this is? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh said, وَمَا هُوَ. What is it? What's this thing that you gave me? He said, كُنْتُ تَكَهَّنْتُ لِإِنسَانٍ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَمَا أُحْسِنُ الْكَهَانَةَ إِلَّا أَنِّي خَدَعْتُهُ. The ghulam says that I was a soothsayer, someone who practiced fortune telling. I acted as a soothsayer for a man in the pre-Islamic period, in Jahiliyyat. And I wasn't very good at it, but what I would do is I would deceive people then. So they didn't realize that I wasn't good at it. But that person, he met me and he gave me this, meaning what I've just provided you. As soon as Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard that he had just consumed something that was given to him, which was the recompense for an act which was done in the era of Jahiliyyah, and it was for a haram thing. This is the iwas, ijara, whatever you want to call it, for something which is impermissible in Sharia. Look what Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did. It says, فَأَدْخَلَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ يَدَهُ فَقَاءَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فِي بَطْنِهِ. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu placed his hand in his own mouth, and he vomited everything out that was in his stomach. It's in Bukhari as well.
Allah.
Now, what does that show us? That shows us that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they found out that something they had consumed was from lawful means, this is after he's consumed it, they would go to this length to ensure that it doesn't remain in their body. Because there are other hadith that the flesh which is nourished through haram is worthy of the hellfire, and other such narrations. The Sahaba had so much God consciousness, taqwa, and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about the people today who claim to be Sufis? Smoking cannabis, playing music at shrines. Say it's part of the deen. This is how we spread the deen. The Sahaba didn't spread the deen like this. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, I remember an account of his where he went with some senior scholars to, if I remember correctly, Khwaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi Alayhi's Mazar Sharif. And when Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma went there, unfortunately he saw these scenes that people carry out today. music being played, free mixing. And he detested this in his heart. He thought, this is very bad. And this is another problem today. When we see wrong, we become so accustomed to it that we don't even consider it wrong. This is the mujahada for us today as well. That when we see something wrong, haram, we say it's haram. Man ra'a minkum munkar. Whoever from you sees something wrong, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. He should change it with his hand. If he's not able to change it with his hand, change it with his tongue. If he's not able to change it with his tongue, then at least consider that as bad in the heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Now Allah said, Ali Rahma is visiting the awliya Allah, Khwaja Nizamuddin awliya rahmatullahi ta'ala. And then because he was so upset and he went into this state of muraqabah, and he developed a connection with the wali in the shrine as well. Now Allah's rahmah, his karama actually happened here, karamat. He says, when I went to give salam, and obviously I tried to establish a connection with Sahib-e-Mazar, he says the miraculous thing was that a situation occurred where the music sound was still there, but it was drowned out for me. I couldn't hear it. Because I step outside, and it was the same old music. Come back, it's gone. Whereas prior to that, you could hear it. You can imagine how loud it was. You can hear it everywhere. So this is when the awliya Allah do karam upon their devotees as well. But Allah's Ali Rahmah hated the sound of that music, and it was drowned out for him as well.
Allah.
He was a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is true tasawwuf. And awam need to, as I was saying, awam need to develop this recognition. What is wrong, what is right. And today, awam don't do tahqeeq, they don't research, they don't look for the right person. And then when the person comes and robs them of their hard-earned money. A true story I'm telling you. Recently, a person in the community, he was exposed for what? He would go to people's houses and he would say, I'm giving you an amulet, spiritual amulet. And like this, he would earn from it as well. One place he visited, and he wanted to earn money, because once you've developed that hunger and eager, you're eager to make money out of it, you lose sight of the actual goal, which is to serve the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then you'll go to all lengths to try and take people's money. This person went to someone's house.
Greed took over him.
Yeah, he went to someone's house, and he already had this in his mind that I'm going to get them to pay up, and I'm going to lie to them as well. So what he did was he went into their house, and he told the people, leave the room, please. Let me do some reading. And when they left the room, they were quite unsure, because prior to that, another person from their family had been done over, as they say. So they wanted to see what's going on. So they actually planted a device there.
Allah Akbar.
And this person ended up placing a taweez that he had written himself in the corner. He invited them back to the room and he said, I've done some reading. And I suspect that there's a taweez in this room. That's why you're going through difficulty. That's why you have calamity in your life. Go and check that corner. And they checked the corner, it was there. But little did he know that they all have this all on camera. And afterwards, he was disgraced and humiliated. So you have people like this, false practitioners. And they give a bad name to those who are sincere and trying to serve the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at Dawud Islami, for example. Alhamdulillah. Dawud Islami gives ta'weezat. I remember ta'weezat, which are based upon Quran and Hadith, authentic du'as, permissible. The scholars have always mentioned that. There's a hadith in this regard. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they would place ta'weez around the necks of their children who couldn't read. So this is proven. Dawud Islami, across the world, when you go and get a ta'weez, it's free of cost. Serving the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many people, alhamdulillah, they take the ta'weez, and with the mercy and idhn of Allah Ta'ala, they're cured of their problem as well. Never will Dawud Islami ask you for a penny. That's not to say the fiqhi ruling regarding charging for a ta'weez is that it's allowed, but people are abusing it. Like I just mentioned, this person claimed to be a follower of the tasawwuf, but he's duping them, he's deceiving them into giving their hard-earned money, but he was exposed. So many charlatans out there, so many evil people with evil intentions, giving a bad name to tasawwuf and the real Sufiyai Kiram, the likes of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, like this propaganda that spread regarding Ala Hazrat that he promoted grave worship. Some fake proponents of tasawwuf are doing this. So they'll go to a mazar. I saw this myself. I was an eyewitness to this, a very big mazar. And I saw someone from the Awam doing sajda. But obviously, you don't put any hukam until you clarify, you ask. So he said, look, I did sajda because I respect the person in the grave. And we told him that, look, this is impermissible. It's forbidden and you must repent. Don't do it again. Told him gently, nicely, and he agreed. And he didn't cause a scene or anything like that. And this propaganda that spread that Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma promoted grave worship. Ala Hazrat has a whole risala on this titled Az-Zubdatu Zakiya Fi Tahreemi Sujood Al-Tahiyya. That this whole risala, what's the maqsid of it? To prove that it's haram to do sajda to a grave. If it's done with the intention of worship, a person, his iman is lost. If it's done with the intention of love, respect, and honor, it's still haram. Because sajdatu ta'adim in this sharia is impermissible. So this is how far Allah Hazrat went to save the awam. And today people are spreading evil regarding the great imam who eradicated so many bid'at, so many innovations. This is true tasawwuf. When he saw something wrong, he wasn't going to let it go. He was going to write against it. And this is mujahada with his qalam. So going back to it, tasawwuf is a beautiful science to purify ourselves, but it goes hand in hand with the sharia. So if you find a kamil shaykh or someone who can make you travel on this path, alhamdulillah, consider it a big blessing. But be very careful, because there are people out there who have sinister motives, evil motives, and they are the ones that you need to save yourself from.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, very beautiful words of our Ustaz. You know, this is something for the viewers of Madani channel. And it's a sad reality of today where a lot of people are actually going to these type of people seeking their du'as, you know, seeking ta'wizat from them, amulets from them, and etc. Many, many other things as well. Even for du'a, they are charging and taking money for du'as, you know. And this is something that we, the awam, you know, the community needs to understand, that when we go to a certain individual for a du'a or for ta'wiz, apply all of these conditions. Like, you know how we have a checklist for every single thing? When we buy a car, when we buy a house, we have checklists. Okay, does the car make noise? What's the engine like? What's the engine size? Is it petrol or is it diesel? Likewise with the house as well. Is there a coal mine underneath it? You know, has it any damp in there? We have all of these checklists for our dunya. Where are our checklists for the akhirah and for the deen?
No.
When we go and meet someone, just because we have been told from our uncle, our auntie, or some sort of relative that, you know, this person is very high up there, you know, he's a big Sufi saint, you know, go to him, he has a big beard, he wears a massive imam on top of his head, and, you know, his du'as are accepted and everything. You go to him and the individual is wearing 5 rings on one finger, 4 rings on the other finger, you know, his hair's going past his shoulders, you know, on all of that, you know, all of these things, you know, by the way, for the views of Madin channel, having the length of the hair for a male past his, below his shoulder is impermissible. Okay. Wearing multiple rings is also impermissible. It's haram. Okay. And a lot of people, because of these individuals, like our Ustaz Sab said, that because of these type of individuals, the true Sufi saints are being attacked as well. Because of these fake pseudo Sufis, the true Sufis are being attacked. Like, for example, our Imam Ahl Sunnah, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, right? A lot of people like to attack them. A lot of people like to put blunders out in regards to them, that al-iyadu billah, that he, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, allowed shirk, he allowed grave worshipping, al-iyadu billah. Whereas this was not the case. Imam Ahl Sunnah wrote an entire book in regards to the manners of visiting somebody's grave. And one of the manners was that you stand a certain amount of a distance from the grave and you present your salam to that person. And you know, a lot of people who claim to be followers of Ala Hazrat, they go to the graves, you know, they bow down to the graves, they do sajda to the grave. You know, as our Ustaz Sab has already beautifully explained, that doing ta'zeem sajda to the grave is haram, is impermissible. And the one who has told us this is Imam Ahle Sunnat. Ala Hazrat is the one that has told us that ta'zeem sajda is haram. If it was worship, then that's kufr, that's disbelief. And this was the teachings of Imam Ahle Sunnat. So those who do claim to follow Ala Hazrat, but then they go to graves and they do sajda to the graves, they need to think, that are they truly the lovers of Ala Hazrat? Are they truly the followers in regards to Ala Hazrat or not? Because clearly Ala Hazrat has told us and forbade us from sort of, from these type of actions. Whenever we go to a peer or a sheikh or somebody like that, we need to have a checklist. We need to see whether that person is following Sharia or not. What is his lifestyle like? You know, is he an alim or not? You know, for a person to be a peer or a sheikh, it's a must for him to be an alim of the deen. It's a necessity for that person to be an actual scholar, because the job of a peer, of a sheikh, is to guide his murids, is to lead them away from the dark and towards light. And how are they going to do that if they don't have knowledge of the deen? Okay, and this is a major problem in today's society, where a lot of people are being claiming to be sheikhs and peers, etc., when they don't have basic knowledge. You know, how can a person be a sheikh? How can a person be a peer if he doesn't have simple knowledge of Islam? Okay, now moving on to Sadr al-Sharia, Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who is the author of the great book of Bahar al-Shariat, subhanallah, he states that tariqat is not in opposition to Sharia. It is the inner aspect of Sharia. However, some ignorant pseudo-Sufis, they claim that Sharia is separate and tariqah is separate. This is only misguidance. Considering oneself to be free of Sharia based upon this false thinking is explicit disbelief, and it causes a person to leave the folds of Islam.
No.
So anyone, a lot of people out there claim to be sheikhs, faqirs, etc., etc. Anyone who claims that they are not bounded to Sharia, if a Muslim claims, doesn't matter if he's a peer, doesn't matter if he's a sheikh, it doesn't matter if he's some next wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter. Every single Muslim is bounded to the Sharia. If anyone claims that I am free from Sharia, that person is no longer considered a Muslim. And Sayyiduna Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states, what does he say? He's a famous quote is, صَدَقُوا لَقَدْ وَصَلُوا وَلَكِنْ إِلَىٰ أَيْنْ. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi states, إِلَى النَّارِ. That these people who say that Shariat is separate and Tariqat is separate, and you know, Shariat, I'm free from Shariat, al-iyadu billah, those people who claim this, Sayyiduna Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that they speak the truth. Now we might be thinking, Sayyiduna Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is saying they're speaking the truth. He rahmatullahi alayhi says that they speak the truth. Indeed, they have arrived. But where have they arrived? They have arrived towards hellfire. So those people who claim this and say, we have reached a certain level, we have reached a certain goal where Sharia does not apply to us anymore. Hazrat Sayyiduna Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says this about them, that they have spoken the truth and they have reached that status. Which status, which goal have they reached? Where have they reached? Hazrat Sayyiduna Junayd al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that they have reached towards the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. So now, however, if the mind is overwhelmed to such an extent that the sense of responsibility is removed, like the one who falls unconscious, then the pen of Sharia will be lifted from him. But also understand that the one who is from this category will never do such things. He will never oppose the Sharia. So the one whose mind is overwhelmed, he will never oppose the Sharia. Anybody who says that I've reached a certain level, Sharia does no longer apply to me, if he says certain quotes or certain statements like this, then that person has not actually reached that stage. He has not actually reached that goal yet. And an example has been given that if A person is told to pray salah. He will not refuse. Rather, he will pray it. So if a person who has become overwhelmed to such an extent that the pen of Shariat has been lifted from him, like they have mentioned, that when he is told to do something which is in accordance to Shariat, he will not refuse. He will not go against it. Like for example, if somebody is told to offer his salah, he will not refuse to offer salah, rather he will pray it. Okay? And remember, viewers of Madin channel, seeing anyone in this state, in a state where a person is no longer conscious of the things around him, to such an extent that the pen of Shariat is lifted from him. If somebody sees someone in this state, following them after considering them to be majzoob is impermissible. It's not permitted. And what is this foolishness? That they offer salah in Medina, yet they eat in their own home. You know, they say that we offer salah in Makkah, we offer salah in Medina. But then if somebody was to ask a question, you're offering salah there, but why are you not eating food over there as well then? Why are you eating food at your own house? You should also spiritually eat food over there. But when it comes to food, because they can't live without food, they fool people by saying, you read our salah over there, but we eat our food over here. Allahu Akbar. What type of foolishness is this? And unfortunately, our people are blinded towards this as well. Okay? Remember that one cannot take bay'at. Okay? He cannot pledge allegiance with a majzoob. For he is not in the state to guide others. And as I mentioned before, for a peer, for a wali, it's a must that he has to be an alim of the deen. For a peer to be an alim is a must. Because if you want to a kamil sheikh, if you want a spiritual guide, how are you expecting a person to guide you if he has no knowledge of the deen? So when you look for a sheikh, when you try to find a peer, make sure the bare minimum is that he is alim of the deen. So Salsa, what would you say about this?
Definitely, again, it goes back to knowledge. Knowledge is the essence. A person should have understanding that certain actions will automatically tell us that this person himself is not paband, is not steadfast on Sharia. How is he going to lead others onto the path of Sharia? When we read Fatiha every day, we pray to Allah Ta'ala that He guides us on the straight path, towards the straight path, and He keeps us on the straight path. So the awliya Allah exist, the likes of Amir Ahl Sunnah, other mashayikh in the subcontinent, in the UK, in other parts of the world, you will find righteous people. And if you sincerely make dua to Allah, He will guide you to them as well. Otherwise, it's easy just to go online, Google Shaykh, and say, oh, tell me about someone who's of a high spiritual rank. I need some remedy. I need some cure. It's going to bring you a list of people. We are practitioners. We remove black magic. We do this. We do that. In fact, nowadays, you don't even have to search. They'll come and post in your letterbox. This is how daring they are. Allah. They'll post in your letterbox cards, or, you know, we'll get you the love of your life. We'll do this. We'll do that. Their own situation, they can't even help themselves. So what we learn from Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he was a true Sufi, someone who practiced the Sawwuf, and he was a Shaykh of millions as well. And never once will you find in his teachings, in his books, where he teaches someone to do haram, teaches someone to be relaxed in regards to Sharia or lazy and, you know, they can miss anything. No. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he was very firm on Sharia himself. And this is also a sign of a true Shaykh, a pious person, that when you're in their company, you too will become better as well. You too will realize, wait a minute, I'm far away from the deen. When they are seeing the true awliya Allah, then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember the deen of Allah, you remember the Sharia, you see it in their sitting, in their standing, in their actions as well. So may Allah ta'ala guide us to those who are sincere and true in not only purifying themselves, but purifying the masses as well. And may Allah save us from charlatans, these fake people, these deceiving people. And you need to work on yourself to the extent when you worship Allah, you know that He's seeing you. When in all your actions, you know that Allah is aware of you. You'll save yourself from sins, from wrongdoings, from haram. And that is true tasawwuf. May Allah ta'ala grant us blessings.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful words. So to finish off on today's topic, inshallah, before we look for a peer, before we search for du'as from individuals, make sure, viewers of Madin channel, that you are aware of how that person is. Meaning, is he adhering to the Shariat? is he obeying the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, remember, always remember this views of Madri channel, that if a person is aqil, baligh, Muslim, right, salah is fard upon them. Okay? Obviously, if he's salah isn't forgiven in any manner, okay, unless a person is on his deathbed where it's impossible for him to move, etc., then there's a different situation. Always remember, salah is fard upon every single person. But always remember, have a checklist before you go to somebody. Have a checklist before you seek ta'awizat, wazaif, any sort of these type of spiritual items from an individual. Always have a checklist before you go to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every single one of us the true understanding of the deen. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. A legacy of truth, a guiding flame. Love for the Prophet, his timeless aim. The legacy of Rizal.